Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
The Gastroenteritis Blues for another season of Sixers basketball and other stuff. My name is Steve Lippman. I am with Dan Volpone and Emily Cannell. Emily, my first question is for you. Which former member of the Sixers universe tweeted this Des Bryant tweeted, "Why can't Kyrie do what's best for him?" This is, of course, in reference to his unvaccinated status. Then this person responded with this: "He can and he is, bro. They just don't like it when you speak out and stand true to yourself. Called this over a year ago, but Kyrie's finally ascended spiritually, and unfortunately, it's hard for those that aren't on the same frequencies to understand. Guys like you get it." Emily, which former member of the Sixers universe said that? And if you need a hint,
I know
you can
this
tell...
because oh, you know I it. Saw it. Well, mm-hmm. I do, but I don't. Like, I know I saw it, but I can't pull it from the recesses of my mind right now.
It's such a sad tweet. Like, he's like, "I love you, Des." Like, besides all of the weirdness of it, it's just sad.
I think it's sad too, but that might be because I haven't ascended highly enough yet, so I'm not sure. Emily, do you want to venture a guess? I can tell you it is a former Sixers player.
No, because I don't like to be wrong. It's a character flaw.
Okay. The answer would be Jonah Bolden.
That doesn't surprise me. He loves NFTs.
And
so does Tobias now too. He sees this was this like sheep thing.
Hey,
is it a sheep?
Tobias,
what is it?
Tobias,
Mama, what is it?
2 days before the season, I don't need a tweet about NFTs for
Tobias. What animal is it though?
Tobias is like congratulating billionaires on being billionaires like literally 2 weeks ago.
Don't need it.
It's fine. I mean, not gonna lie, I wish I was a billionaire, so
that would be nice.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn it down.
A thousandaire. Let's start there, huh? Subscribe. Jesus. Dan, hey buddy, how are you? Facial hair looks great.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
I find that a lot of times when I have one of these questions where it's like a quiz, Dan has usually seen them, and Emily at least has not publicly acknowledged them. Like the Gastro Twitter, I think, had responded to the Jonah thing. But I do need to talk about Dan and how attractive he is whenever I get a chance. Here we go. This is the last podcast before the season starts on Wednesday. What's going to happen in this podcast? We are going to talk about our final preseason thoughts. We're going to do a season preview, talk about some predictions we have, our outlook on the year, our excitement level. We will, yes, they're clamoring at home. Yes, we will reveal the official handsome rankings for the Sixers this year. And we will predict the upcoming week of games. But first, Ben Simmons still on the Sixers, and he showed up to their practice today. What can we say? I'm just going to go chronologically. First thing was Jake Fisher, who had a sort of behind the scenes about Simmons and Doc Rivers meeting with Daryl Morey there when he something they were talking about the situation and why he's getting fined. And Doc said, I quote, "It's in your fucking contract," which I think is great. I think it's a really fun thing.
Put that on the shirt.
Put that on the shirt.
My shirt
so,
of Doc quotes.
We can start here. There was some question earlier this week about Ben's vaccination status, because it turns out he needed two different negative tests in order to practice with the Sixers, which lines up with the timeline of an unvaccinated player. Now, it's possible Ben Simmons was at home trying to think up ways we can like him less And maybe he found one. Maybe it was, guess what? I won't even be vaccinated. I'll be one of those guys too. Love it. A writer, Dan, is this Dan Feldman? Is this who this
is? Yeah. This is awesome.
I don't know who he is. Is he real GM?
Oh, maybe. I knew he was on like NBC Sports at one point or something. I don't know.
Okay. So that guy. He
wrote the wildest thing. Yeah.
Right. He tweeted, Dan sent me this. Simmons also has an incentive not to be vaccinated while his trade request remains unfulfilled. With four seasons left on his contract, Simmons has minimal control over the situation, but being unvaccinated gives him slightly more control. Players get traded when they're more valuable to another team than their current team. If Simmons would get vaccinated if traded, i.e. less likely to contact coronavirus, which would keep him out, and spread coronavirus to teammates. And, you know, this has killed like 7 million people, by the way. That's one way he'd be more valuable to another team than to Philadelphia. Simmons could also gain input into his destination by agreeing to get vaccinated for only certain teams. He'd hold particular control if he wanted to avoid the Nets, Knicks, Warriors, Lakers, or Clippers. He reportedly wants to go to California, blah, blah, blah. Dan, what's your reaction to the possibility that Ben is going to wield a potential unvaccinated status to steer his trade however it can go?
Yeah, first of all, like, I think I need to point out that, like, this is not, like, reporting. This is his speculation on something Ben could do, not saying Ben is doing this.
Yes.
So to sit around and think up how Ben Simmons can use himself as, like, a bioweapon in the middle of a pandemic to get traded where he wants to get traded is just weird and crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, that is an insane thing to do, to just... Like, who does that? Like, that thought never crossed my mind. And if it did, I wouldn't have, like, put hours worth of work into writing, like, a crazy thing about how he could, like, utilize this and, like, threaten to put his teammates at risk if they don't trade him where he wants to go. That's weird. And it implies that, like, it's Ben is not, like, an anti-vaxxer, or he's not, like, you know, someone who is, like, doesn't trust whatever, or is like, but this, it would imply that, like, Ben fully understands why you would get the vaccine but, like, does not care that, like, he would be getting people sick and, like, threatening, like, the lives of, like, the people around him, which I don't think anyone falls in that category that I know.
Unbelievable.
Like there are, like, people who, like, aren't vaccinated for, like, wild reasons, but I haven't heard anyone not vaccinated because they're like, you know what? I just, like, hate my coworkers. And it's like, I don't want to protect them. Like, I know the vaccine works, but, like, I just, like, don't like the people I'm with all the time. So why should I help them out? Like, that's just weird. That's so crazy. I couldn't believe what I was reading.
Emily, as a medical professional, would you recommend this sort of behavior?
What, weaponizing yourself as a bioweapon to get traded where you want?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I can't support this behavior. I think that it is reckless and dangerous, and as much as we shit on Ben Simmons, I don't think that this was in Ben's mind. I have to say I just want to put it out there that we're talking about it, and we are not saying that we think this is what Ben Simmons is doing.
This is definitely not what Ben Simmons is doing.
No, this is a Dan Feldman special right here. So yeah, we are not ascribing this to Ben. We're just talking about how wild that assertion is. All right, next in the week of Ben things is that Ramona Shelburne had a sort of big piece about the Sixers and Ben Simmons and how we got here. You guys have read it, right?
Yes.
So quick story. Dano is using my ESPN. For some reason, he couldn't get into it. And he's texting me that he can't get into it. And can I copy and paste it? I don't have anything else to do. Unbelievable.
You're paying for the account that I use. Correct. And when it doesn't work, you're just sending me lots of screenshots.
He goes, hey, copy and paste it as soon as you can. It's like a 5,000 word article. Get it over here. So ESPN app doesn't let me copy and paste. But I, in the middle of a work day, mind you, as if I have work days, I take 28 screenshots of the article and send it to Dan for the betterment of this podcast so that he can have the balance and nuanced take he's about to have on it. Yeah, thanks, man. All right. Ramona's piece had a lot of stuff in it. It had a lot of how we got here. It had background on Ben Simmons never wanting to fail and never taking jump shots. And, you know, he was the presumptive number one overall pick, and he just, like, didn't want to screw that up at any cost. There is some stuff in there about the family stuff that he has dealt with.
Which I felt like was the first time that that, like, has really been mentioned in, like, a big media story.
I think you're right.
I think, like, that's, like, been a very much, like, online thing that people know, but it hasn't been, like, published in any type of piece before.
I feel like the fact that it's now been, like, to some degree settled in court probably makes the, like, big sites, like, more willing to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Which we certainly are not going to talk about that other than to say, like, that must be awful to deal with. And, like, on a human level, we, of course, feel compassionate about that. And to deal with that on any level, public or private, must be awful. And, you know, all of that. Then there is probably the juiciest part of the piece is this. And this led the article. Ramona said, on the morning of June 20th, less than 10 hours before the Sixers were due to host the Atlanta Hawks in Game 7 of their second round playoff series, Simmons was in limbo. Quote, they're not letting me play, he told his brother Sean Tribe and several teammates via text message. Quick interjection, I didn't think he texted, but okay, we can, I guess we'll follow up when he's on the pod. Simmons was being held out of the team shoot-around, he told them, due to a possible exposure to his team's masseuse, who'd returned an inconclusive COVID-19 test. Several players were questioned about whether they'd seen her that morning, but only Simmons said that he had. He answered the question honestly without thinking of the implications, says one source close to Simmons. But according to multiple sources, many within the team questioned whether Simmons had actually seen the masseuse or was just trying to get out of playing as he battled with the basketball version of the yips, which is a wild thing. So there's two ways we can, well, we can talk about the Ramona article overall, but we can also say, A, do you think this happened, that he didn't actually have a massage and that he was trying to not play in Game 7 at home and during the series where he was playing really poorly? And B, which I have to credit the Ricky Spike Askin brought this up on a podcast that I heard, that it's almost irrelevant whether or not he was actually doing it. But the fact that guys on the team suspect him of doing that is, like, a gigantic thing, you know, that they think that he was actually trying to bail on Game 7. So, Emily, what do you think about the Ramona piece? And what do you think about the thing with Ben possibly making an effort to bail on Game 7?
I thought the Ramona piece was interesting. There was, like, a few new things in there, but that was the biggest one for sure. A lot of it was about, like, other things were, like, about, like, Ben in high school and college and kind of, like, his demeanor there and how he played and all that kind of stuff. Basically, he used to shoot, seems like, and then everything fell apart. But that, yeah, I kind of agree with the rookie take. It's like perception is reality. And so if people thought that that's what he was doing, then it doesn't really matter if that's what he actually was doing.
Right.
That is, seems like a wild. I feel like it takes a lot of, like, one quick thinking to be like, they're asking me this. Like, do you think they just ask, or do you think they're like, she had an exposure, did you see her? Because if they're just like, hey, did you see so-and-so? And your thought is like, maybe she had a positive test. Like, maybe I should say that I saw her so I don't have to play. Like, that seems like a lot of, like, of quick thinking. I don't know what the, like, thing is.
My guess would be that they said she had an inconclusive test. Like, who all was in contact with her? And then Ben says, I was in contact with her.
Yeah. But it also doesn't the piece say, like, he's the only one, like, I guess it says C as in, like, got a massage this morning. But when it says, like, C, it's like she was, like, a ghost and only Ben saw her and, like, no one else even laid eyes on her. Right. So, like, he just, like, manifested that she was there because he didn't want to play.
Yeah,
I have no idea. It's crazy. That's crazy, but I don't know.
I mean, he talked about being mentally out of it in the middle of that series. To me, you know, a lot of people were saying like this is like a leap. I guess I don't agree. Like, he was having a terrible series. Like, he knew what was sort of at stake and the spotlight on him. And I think that that would be like a sort of nice way to get out of, you know, that situation. But I do think that like that was in the middle of a series last year when they were the one seed, and players apparently were thinking that about him. It's like, what do you think they think about him now? Like, because then game seven happens, and then every other report has happened since then. It's like, you know, we'll talk about him being back around the team, but
it's also just like bad if that was his mindset. Like you said, like it's a convenient way to get out of the series, but it's just terrible if your mindset is not like, this is a huge game seven, like my team needs me, I'm going to step up and just do something. And yes, it was, I'm going to get out of this. Right. I cannot do this. Opposite. I cannot help them. I'm done. Like, right. I don't love that.
It's the opposite. Yeah, Dan, what's your reaction to the Ramona stuff that she put out just a few days ago?
I mean, the first thing I also thought was like, just the fact that anyone would think that this is happening is, I think like, it's not just about what his teammates think of him and like the confidence they have in him, but what that means about him, right? Like, it's one thing for like me to joke to you guys, like, oh, like, you know, Ben probably doesn't want to play game seven because he's been playing so bad and like, whatever. Like, these are people who are around him every day, who play with him, who, you know, like, not just the fact that like you need to trust your teammates and believe in your teammates in a basketball game, which is part of it, but also that like clearly that he was showing something that would make at least multiple players, according to this piece, just think that that is something that is something he could do. Like, just to think that, like, I think that's basically like the ultimate loser move, to like basically, you know, try to hide your way from game seven because you're not playing well, and just, you know, completely, you know, leave your teammates out to dry because you don't want to play because you're having a tough series and you're, you know, already thinking about asking for a trade, which I think he was based on some of the reporting. Whether he did it or not, I think it's believable. I don't want to say if he did or not because I really don't know, but I just think that the fact that the multiple people on the team think that he's capable of that probably says a lot about not just what they think of him, but like his actions and what led them to believe that. Like, it wasn't just, you know, this summer or game seven that has some people thinking that like Ben is not cut out for, you know, stardom on an elite team in the NBA.
In Philadelphia, I would say. Yeah.
No, but and it's not just like, that's not a Philadelphia thing. That's an anywhere thing. That is an enormous red flag. And his teammates, who, you know, all said the party line of we want him back, at least a few of them thought that he was, you know, just wanted no parts of a game seven because he was playing bad. And he was basically scared of that moment and scared to fail. I think that that's, it's super embarrassing for Ben that would come out of his teammates' mouths and be circulating anywhere, let alone like a major ESPN piece. I think it's embarrassing, and it says a lot.
You know, and they also mentioned that it sort of feels like a Sixers player or some Sixers players finally playing the game of like, all right, Ben's been like leaking all of this shit to try to get him out of here. Like, here you go. Take like, here, Ramona, like, you can have this, that like, here's where we were actually at with him at the end of last season. And again, I think it's almost a moot point whether or not he was actually trying to do that, because the fact that his teammates or people around the team thought that, you know, meant as much as it did. So anyway, Ben does the ding dong ditch where he shows up at the Wells Fargo Center and he rings the doorbell and he texts Elton Brand, like, DoorDash, he's out front, got to go downstairs.
He didn't even text Elton Brand. He told somebody else to text
Elton Brand. Right, right. Doc Rivers, you know, longtime listeners of the podcast know this, but we love how Doc Rivers has no idea what the fuck is going on ever. Like, the statuses of his players is the thing he knows the least about. It's like, don't even ask me. So they asked him, I guess this was before the Pistons game, the last preseason game. He said, Doc Rivers asked whether he thinks Ben Simmons came back to play basketball. He says,
Jock had just talked to him.
He had a meeting with him, had just said
it was a great conversation. Just said that to the media, same press conference.
He said it went great. Doc said, I'm assuming he's going to play, but who knows? I can't get into anyone's head.
The hell did you talk about?
What did you talk about, Doc?
He asked him how his vacation was. He's like,
I just love
that's how well, he what? Reintroduced him to the team.
I just love, like, no, what am I, a mind reader? How would I know if he's going to play basketball?
How could it be a great conversation if you didn't find that out? What else would have been the purpose of the conversation, if not to say, Ben, are you playing?
Oh, my God. We're still doing this.
I love him.
So then today, which is Sunday, Ben practiced with the Sixers. Rivers was asked after, he said he's not sure when Simmons will return, that his overall conditioning level is good. When he's ready, he'll play. Meanwhile, they asked Doc about Shake Milton. He said he's nowhere near playing. He's not even close. So God knows what happened to Shake's ankle. But I'm expecting him to be in the lineup on Wednesday. by the way, the full quote about Shake, this is a sidebar, but he said, I don't know what his status is. I know he's out. Shake is nowhere near playing. He'll be out for a while. I think you know what his status is then. What do you guys think? So then the other, I believe only a few guys talked today. Matisse talked, Tobias talked, Furkan talked. Tobias had, I think, the most sort of telling quotes about this. I'm going to pull them up. But in the meantime, what did you guys think of the sort of reactions and the vibe around Ben being back at practice, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it was weird, right? Like, no one said it wasn't. I think the only person who really seems happy to see him is Furkan.
Yes, Furkan is overjoyed.
Yeah,
he's just a gem of a human, though.
So here's what Tobias said. This is via Rich Hoffman, and then Dan, you keep going. He said, we got an opening to our season coming up. Truth be told, that's honestly where our focus is. We're grown men here. This is not middle school, seventh grade, eighth grade. Oh, you did this to me. You did this. Nah. As soon as we step on that floor, it's just basketball. And honestly, that's the way it should be. We're here for one thing. That's to be the best team we can be and compete. Get better as a group. So all the energy and this or that, the vibe was what it was. Was it perfect? No. But we're here to do a job, and that's to win basketball games. So we put our big boy pants on the floor. They put their pants on the floor.
Okay. I don't think you meant to say it like that. Yeah.
So they put the pants on the floor, and then we get on the floor. And we do what we do. Okay. I mean, it's their business. So, Dan, any reaction to that? That Tobias sort of melancholy. I don't think Tobias is playing the game right now in terms of like saying all the nice things about Ben. He did not seem like, thank God we got our star player back.
No, no one really seemed like that. Even Furkan was just like, I like him. I'm happy to see him. No one else really said anything like that. No one said, you know, oh, there's no hard feelings. I'm happy to see him. Tobias' quote was basically like, there are hard feelings, but we don't let it get in the way because we have a job to do. The fact like, oh, it wasn't perfect, and the whole like, oh, like you did this to me, like saying he did something to me, like saying like people are not happy with him. I just think it's weird. I'm sure it's weird there, but like it's why I haven't wanted this. Like,
Matisse Thybulle, who truly would not hurt a fly and has never said a mean word about anyone. They asked him, he said that this is Tom Moore. Tom Moore said, Matisse Thybulle has little to say about Ben Simmons' return. Quote, I live in my world. So, okay, great. Good to see you, Ben. Like, I do understand that our view on this podcast is leaning to, like, when I see these quotes, I interpret them through the way I'd like to interpret them. You know what I mean? But I also don't think we're making that up. You know, I think that Joel's quotes about how disrespectful it was and sort of like putting down the artifice of saying all the right things was probably representative of a lot of guys on the team. Emily, what did you think of...
Sorry, I was just going to say, like, we talk about like what the team wants them to say, right? Even if we like, if we interpret it as everything that they say is nice is coming from them, and everything they say is not like overly nice, right? We can at least agree the team would not tell them to say something not overly complimentary of them. So the fact that they're not, you know, super complimentary of Ben, which I'm sure the team would prefer at least, but even some of the little things, like there's no way like Daryl was happy to hear Tobias admit that it was weird and that,
yeah,
and the guys feel like Ben did something to them, but they're just going to be professional. That's not what the Sixers want out there. That's no one walking the team's line. That is right. Like that is honest because there's no benefit for the team to have them say that.
Yeah. Also, Ben did not talk today. They said that he's going to talk either Monday or Tuesday. I think that's when we'll find out if he's actually planning on playing games. Emily, what's your reaction to Ben's day at practice today?
Well, did you see, like, we talk about, like, it being awkward and things. Did you see Doc Rivers' quote of how if Ben addressed the team, Keith had this? We just introduce, like we always do when a new guy comes back or the old guys come back. We jokingly did it. We did it with Tobias as well because he's been on vacation, and Matisse as well.
I thought Tobias's knees hurt, and Tobias.
What?
He was like Ben's on vacation. I'm taking.
He's like he's back from vacation, guys. Isn't it funny? Like what?
They did make it like Ben did not get up in front of the team and say like, I'm sorry, I did you wrong or any of that. That certainly didn't happen.
Oh, so you mean that all those like weird fantasies that people had were like, well, would you forgive Ben if he like what is this? Like this is not real life.
Well, the thing is, in my mind, if in some dream world Ben ever gets back into the good graces of anyone in this city, it's going to require the help of his teammates. And to do that, he has to like lay down on the sword and be like, I was a dick. I ruined everything. I'm sorry. And he won't do it. Like, because if he wants to, you know, get back and play here and do whatever, he's going to need like Joel's help on the court to like kind of let him have his lanes and do what he does so that the fans get on his side. But to do that, he would have to be like, I'm sorry, I was such an asshole about you in the media, and it's not gonna happen.
And he would have to not want to be traded anymore, which that's not happening. You know what I mean? He just wants to stop getting fined. Like, so you have to start there. I mean, Zach Lowe, who I really like and I think is super smart, but on his podcast, he was like, if Ben Simmons goes sort of on bended knee to the Sixers fans and says, I was wrong. I have a mental block about taking jump shots. I'm going to take jump shots. I know I need to be better. I know it was a major part of losing the series against Atlanta. I know. I mean, this is like, okay, if Paul Reed shows up at practice Tuesday and he's 14 feet tall, should he start? Like, it's not happening. Like, we can talk about it, but it's not happening.
He should definitely start if he's 14 feet tall.
See? So just as likely as this whole thing here. So, I don't know what's going to happen from here. You know, they opened the season on Wednesday. Reconditioning was the term used for why Ben was out against the Pistons.
It's a great one. Never heard that.
The fact that he's showing up not in shape should tell you how sorry he feels. Like,
or this is just one of many terms they're about to use. So that, you know, this
like what's a good screwed. What's a good term that's like actually true that they could use that's like also like politically correct?
Sucks.
Gastroenteritis.
Yeah.
Gastroenteritis. Sucks.
Jimmy Butler in Minnesota had general soreness, which I think everybody general really soreness enjoyed.
Is a good one.
So I just can't imagine them because like I don't know. Like I don't see all this upside in him playing basketball games for either side because I like he doesn't, like, if I'm him and I want to get traded from this team, I'm certainly not going 100%. I'm certainly not getting hurt in this team that I don't want to play for. And just knowing the city and knowing the acrimony that he has created, he and his team have intentionally created to try to force Daryl into making a trade, like, it's going to be bad.
But I also don't, like, understand, like, I understand the money part of it, that he doesn't want to get fined and wants to make money, but, like, is there not a way for the front office to be like, you're not hurt, you have to play basketball games?
There is.
So, like, what is then his, like, I think he's gonna play.
That's my question too. It's like, he ended his holdout so that he would receive his checks, so that he would come and receive his checks. I don't understand how him showing up to Philadelphia, the city, but not playing in basketball games would keep him from getting fined. So
he doesn't have to try in games. That's the thing. Like, he can walk through practice and walk through games to the point that, like, they're just not going to play it.
That's true.
But I mean, and I guess, like, he doesn't really care where he goes as long as it's not here, and it would just continue to hurt his trade value, and we would continue to get shit because it's just going to tank his trade value.
I think that would look even I don't think that he wants to get out there and just sort of throw it out of bounds, like, but I don't know what their plan is, and if you ask Doc Rivers, there is no plan. So I don't have any idea what would happen.
You do if he plays opening night and they inbound the ball and he gets the ball and he just chucks it out of bounds?
I'm telling
you. All right. First of all, he doesn't have it in him to do that, but I would respect the hell out of that.
I'm telling you, if he takes the ball and throws it to section 215 in New Orleans, it's even better if it's against the Nets and he just fires it at Chicky and Pete's. I would love that. I would really.
I don't know if I would scream in delight or horror. It might be both.
It'd be awesome.
It would be really great. All right. Anything else that you guys wanted to say about preseason? The Sixers rested a ton of guys, much like in the NFL. I think NBA teams are taking the preseason very easily. Joel didn't play against the Pistons. Maxey looked really good. I really like him. Isaiah Joe can't miss a shot. And Isaiah Joe, I think, absolutely has minutes now because Shake is out for a long time. Tobias did say today that his knee is feeling better and it sounds like he'll play. Matisse's shoulder is better and it sounds like he'll play. Any other final preseason thoughts from either of you, Emily? Nothing?
Nope, I didn't even watch the game.
Perfect. Deb?
Not really. I mean, I think Joe and Korkmaz were a lot of fun. Maxey's cool, so... I like a lot of the guys on this team, and there's one I really don't like, and I hope they trade him for another guy I do like, and then I can like all the guys on the team.
So that brings us to our sort of season preview here. The season starts officially on Tuesday, but the Sixers start on Wednesday in New Orleans. How are you guys feeling about the Sixers? I'm doing I put together a predictions roundtable piece that I forced Dan and Emily to participate in. And the first question I had is, how do you feel emotionally about, like, heading into the season? And I haven't written my stuff yet, but, like, I feel strange because I love Joel. And I think any day that we get to watch him is a gift. And everybody else on the team, I think, for different reasons are great. And, like, I'm interested to watch the young guys in bigger roles. But if Ben actually plays in basketball games, it will be really hard for me. Also, from a basketball perspective, if they just return the exact same roster that just lost to the Hawks, there's just not much that I'm going to be excited about in a big way, because I will see their playoff ceiling as exactly that. But I understand the means to an end, like if Ben plays 15 games and then they can trade him, whatever. But it's just a cloud. You know, the guy doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to play in Philadelphia. Like, I have no incentive as a fan to want to see him, because I also think that there will be not necessarily an additive quality to him playing basketball if all the guys hate him and he's just playing out the string until he can leave. Like, I don't, this fantasy of him like playing excellent, having one of his like annual 2-week stretches where he's incredible right before he gets traded, like, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be really ugly, especially at home. So yeah, that's where I'm at. Dan, what would you say? Where are you at going into the year?
Yeah, I don't think my heart's fully in it. Like, I'm really excited to watch Embiid. And I think, you know, watching that Nets game and the few minutes in the first quarter Embiid did play, it was such a reminder of why I love this team so much and why we do this podcast, which is he is the most fun player to watch. And he is so, so, so good. And like, I almost like forgot how good he was. Like, I knew he was great, but it had been so long and he started doing things that he had been doing last year. But I was like, whoa, so, you know, he does that. Like, that's why this team, that's why you believe in this team. That's why you think maybe you trade Ben, get a guy who you believe in the playoffs. Like, I could talk myself into this team because Joel is that good. Like, Joel is unstoppable. And so, you know, I'm really excited to just get to watch him play again. I was so bummed last season when he was hurt. He missed those 10 games. And I was like, I still watch every game, but I was like, I don't really want to see this team. Like the rest of them are fun. There's a lot of fun players on the team, but it's just not the same when Joel's not out there. And so I'm really excited to watch him play basketball again. Love him. We all love him. But yeah, there's definitely a cloud hanging over it, which is why I'm not fully into it. I mean, I feel like I felt last year, which is like, surely we are looking to trade Ben. You know, we were last year, we don't know. And it's like, just show me what the final roster is going to look like. And sadly, last year's final roster did look like what it started with on opening day, which is why they weren't good enough. And that team was never going to be good enough. And they, you know, whatever the reason, they didn't get Harden, it's a shame. And this year, you know, unfortunately, a player like that isn't. I mean, even if you miracle your way into Dame, he's still worse. But like, I mean, there's just so few players on James Harden's level. But even a Dame level doesn't seem to be available, and a Beal level doesn't seem to be available. Like, you go down the tiers, LaVine is not available. Like, we're like talking about McCollum Brogdon right now, who I like and like would be happy. Like, I think those guys could be the centerpiece of a Ben trade. But we're not talking about getting the elite talent back we were last year. So it is like kind of the one thing is Embiid took the leap. So it's like, I'm so behind that. I didn't know he would do that last year. And I'm like, I'm all in on him and believe he can be the number one and like the clear number one on a championship team. Like, I think your number two and three can be like quite a few rungs below Embiid because he's that good. If your team is built right. So I believe in him that way. And I could talk myself into this team if we make the big change.
Emily, where you at?
A little bit in between both of you, I would say. I'm not like quite as down on it as Dan, it sounds like. Like, I'm like an eternal optimist, and I'll be like, they'll figure it out. Like, I think this team is still good with or without Ben. I think they've, and like you said, they have Joel. As long as Joel's healthy, I think he can carry a lot of the load. He's, I think, the best player in the league. I have already put money on him for MVP this year. I think he's gonna just keep taking leaps, and really just the sky's the limit for him. And I think a lot of the young guys, well, from what I've seen in like preseason, I think they just look a lot better, and I'm excited to see what they do this year. But there is just like this Ben Simmons shaped cloud hanging over the team. And I just want it to be over so that we know what the team that we're going to roll with for most of the season looks like, and like can move forward from there. There's an uncertainty that is uncomfortable, but the guys that I'm pretty certain, well, actually, I don't know outside of Joel, who will be around post Ben, but I'm always happy to have Joel on my team.
Yeah. Do you guys have any takes or predictions you want to get out there on the record? One, I do think the Dame thing is going to come around. Like, I think that the smoke there was real. And I think that he was saying into microphones that the team's not good enough. And that, like, it's very clear that he doesn't want to be the bad guy in Portland. But I think that that team is very obviously not good enough, and that they'll have like a bad few weeks, and then it'll be the thing that Henry Abbott said was going to happen, which is going to be him asking for a trade. So I actually do think that's going to circle around. And I also don't think that, I think that Daryl knows that that is very possible. Of course, I am choosing to believe that, but that's how I feel. And yeah, anything else, Emily? Any predictions or takes you have?
No, you can read your prediction piece for any of my predictions.
There you go. Can I spoil one of them?
Sure.
You have the Sixers third behind who?
The Bucks and the Celtics.
Amazing. How about that?
Me happy to do it.
No, but the Brooklyn being not in that.
Oh, because Kevin Durant's probably going to get hurt and Kyrie's not playing.
Wow. Flamethrower.
I'm not really worried about Brooklyn. Wow. Not without Kyrie. They're a big two. They're not a big three. I'm not really concerned.
Oh, I still think they're going to kill everybody.
They're still not going to lose.
So Dan, who do you
have? They lost last year.
They only had 1.25 players last year.
Dan, any predictions or opinions you want to get out there?
I felt like last year I had some, and they were mostly James Harden related. I was like, he's good. I was on Dan and Sean's pod last year before the season, and my two predictions were that Giannis would sign an extension. And that was when there was a lot of speculation he might leave if they weren't good. They won the title anyway, but he did extend early in the season. And then I said that James Harden was going to be a Sixer 2 weeks into the season. He did get traded 2 weeks into the season, but it was not
close.
This year, I really don't know. I don't know about the Dame thing. I don't really see him asking out. Never?
Or not really? This year?
Wow. Not right now. I think I don't think he's the type of person to do it during the season, at least. I could be wrong. I don't know that much about him, just the vibe I get. I think, you know, Beal is staying because I think he gets more money if he signs that Supermax and he's just going to do it. I think LaVine will probably extend. I think, you know, even some of like the guys you like really hope about, like what if Golden State like sucks again? Like what if they come out and like, you know, Clay gets hurt or something like that? Like Clay is already hurt. He's not playing to start the year, but like if they're just coming out and they're like an 8 seed again and Clay comes back and they're not winning more games and he doesn't look the same, I still don't think I see Curry asking out. And I think that's obviously the big one you hope for because he's the best player of any of them by quite a bit. Which makes me think, you know, maybe Ben will just be here, which is part of the reason I'm not super excited. And I'm still not even sure he'll play. You know what I mean? Like I could even see him like sitting till like with some BS until the All-Star break. And the trade deadline. And then it's like, they didn't trade me at the deadline. I might as well just show up and half-ass it again and try again this offseason. I don't know. I could see that happening. The deals I would make, I think, are like for the most part on the table. And Daryl doesn't want to make them. And I do think it's possible that like we get to the trade deadline. None of those guys have asked out. Ben's value is dropping because he's like not trying. And Daryl says, okay, well, we knew these packages would still be here. We knew Brogdon and a couple of picks would still be here. Let's revisit that. That's looking better now that nothing else materialized. And maybe he gets traded around that. Maybe that happens in January or February. So maybe that's my prediction, is that January, February, sometime closer to the deadline, none of the big fish are available. And and Ben is not giving the Sixers a reason to want him around on purpose. And Daryl says, well, let's revisit these other offers. They're still there. And they get like McCollum, LeVert, and a pick or CJ and a couple of picks or something like that.
Right. All right. So we're going to go to a break here, friends. Go to a break. When we come back, you will get the official rankings of the Sixers handsomeness from 16-1 right after this break, and we'll break it down for you after this. Here you go. All right, time for the handsomes. Soon I'm going to turn it over to Emily. I just want to put it out there. We do this every year. We've done it last year. That's it. We do it annually. And we are grading the handsomeness. We're ranking the handsomeness of each member of the Sixers roster. In this exercise, we have granted Ben Simmons his wish. He is no longer a Sixer, so he is ineligible. Ben did win the handsome rankings last year.
He's willing to give that up.
Was the only one who didn't vote him first? I knew. I mean, I voted him second. He's very handsome.
Well, and it is part of his resume that people always tell you. They go second for defensive player of the year, the All-Star games, the handsome rankings. Yeah. So let's see. Now, Dan and I have no idea. Emily compiles these. I don't know. Emily has a special application on her computer where she puts different handsomeness into
called Excel.
Dan and I
rank at a high level.
Emily makes her own rankings and then it averages out the totals. And so Dan and I do not know the results, and you can just go in descending order. And I guess you can give names, and then if we have something we'd like to say or whatever, we can open the floor for questioning. All up to you.
Great. So I'm just going to preface these rankings. We have two positions that are tied. We have ties. So we can make an official decision together if you want. So we get definitive rankings. And I think that they just go to show that personality goes into handsomeness a lot. Ooh. With us. It takes a lot for a new guy to get up in our rankings. We like the old heads here. So.
I don't know. I loved Isaiah Joe right away. I feel like
it's true.
Well, you had him the highest.
I just don't know about the new guys. Maybe you're right.
So in 16th, we have Grant Riller.
Yeah, I had him 16th.
Yeah. I had him 15th. You had him 14th, Steve.
14th. Oh, I forgot. Right.
Because Steve forgot to put Tobias on his list. Yeah. Just going to put that out there. And I had to text him today and be like, you're missing someone.
I did it. And I was like, why do I only have 15? And I was like, I forgot Joel.
That's so funny.
It's bad.
The Sixers without Joel. All right.
So terrible idea.
Bad news for Grant Riller. Tough. Yeah.
All right. Number 15. The baby on the team, Jaden Springer.
Not a handsome guy.
Just too young. He hasn't grown into it yet, I don't think.
I'm just going to put this out there. They're all handsome. All right. So we're not going from not handsome to handsome. Grant Riller is the 16th most handsome of a handsome group of 16 men. We're not here to criticize.
Participation trophy Volpone over there. I mean, come on. Snowflake generation. Jeez. Yes, they are all handsome.
You guys are the worst. I can't relate. I'm Gen Z.
Gen Z.
All right. Who's next?
All right. Next, we have Aaron Henry.
Yeah.
Dan had him really high. Dan had him ninth. High. Really ninth? High. Ninth.
What?
I had him last.
He's a fairly handsome man.
I had him 15th. Wow. Nine. Okay. Listen, different strokes.
Next we have Danny Green.
Yeah. Yep. Cool tattoo.
I have to say, it hurts his handsomeness that he's got like Raptors and Lakers tattoos on him. I'm not into it. Wait till you leave the NBA to get those, friend.
Who had Danny Green the highest?
Me and you both had him 12.
Got it.
And then Dan brought him down.
Okay.
So. All right, great. These next two are tied. So we have to decide who is 11 and who is 12. Okay, mm-hmm. So we have Seth Curry and Charles Bassey.
I'm okay with ties, so I don't feel like I need to be the decider. I'll leave it up to you guys.
I mean, on my thing, I had Seth higher than Bassey by two spots. Well, Emily, what did you have?
I had Bassey higher than Seth by 3 spots.
Ooh, Dan, tiebreaker. Sorry, it's up to you.
I don't remember.
Dan had Seth higher than Bassey, so I guess we go.
We go. Bassey 12, Seth 11.
Wait, we're saying no. Higher as in worse or better?
Like higher, better. Like you had him 13th. So you had Seth 13th and Bassey 14th. So like higher.
Higher towards the one,
the top.
Yeah, yes. I see.
Yes. Okay. So we're going Bassey. I'm just making a list so we can, you know, just read through it.
We should have done the ad break like halfway through these rankings to get so like to tune in.
The anticipation. Yeah. We should have like held the top three for next week just so people can wait a whole week to find out.
Do you want to do an ad and it's me just like rambling for 30 seconds? Yeah. Well, all right. I have a quick question. Do we have, so we have last year's rankings, right? So we can see who rose and fell.
Do we? Did I save them?
It's a great question. Oh, I didn't know if we had them anywhere. All right. Forget it then. So you know what? If you're listening and you really care and you just have nothing better to do for an hour, find that pod. Let us know.
Let us
that
know.
Would be, yeah. That would actually be really nice of you if you did that.
It would. Appreciate
yeah.
I saved these ones for next year, just so you know. And I now have a file that has like our bees and our, yeah. So, all right, next. Andre Drummond.
Which number is this? 10?
This is 10, yeah.
Very nice smile. As I reviewed his Google images, very nice smile.
I also think he has a cool look. Like I like like the nose ring. I think he looks very cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Also tall.
Tall, definitely tall.
They're all taller.
He just seems taller. I don't know. All right, next friend of the podcast, Paul Reed.
I bet I had him highest of the three of us. Did I?
You did not. I did.
What did you have him at?
7.
Oh, I had him at 8.
Mm-hmm. Where did I have him?
10.
Okay.
Okay.
And we have, nice. So he's at 9.
So he's at 9, yeah.
Okay. Right. Nice looking man.
All right. The next two. Why are you laughing?
What a ridiculous podcast we do. How fucking stupid is this? All right.
All right. Our next tie. And I actually feel really strongly about this one, but maybe Dan does too. So
no, you can have it. I don't care.
That you've just ruined all the fun.
No, we can fight if you want. I'll care. I'll care.
All right. So the tie is between Furkan Korkmaz and George Niang.
Oh, both very handsome, but I had Niang higher.
You did. You had Niang at 4.
Yeah.
Very high.
He's a very handsome man.
Okay. So I had Niang at 7, but I had Furkan at 9.
Yeah.
Emily, you really think that Furkan is better looking, don't you?
Yeah. Did you see him in that video with the chain the video did it. You can't watch that video and not think he's so handsome.
Can we make a compromise? I'll say for now, Niang is higher, but once Furkan gets a haircut, he jumps him.
You don't like Furkan's hair?
It's too long.
These aren't fluid rankings, Dan. These are done once a year.
I liked it better last year.
Here's the deal. Furkan is more slender than Niang. Furkan seems to have more of a bubbly personality, certainly, than Niang. Furkan's been doing some fun stuff with Lauren Rosen, friend of the podcast, soon.
These are all things that make someone more handsome.
I agree. But Niang, if you just take his fucking face, right? You just take his face. I think it's probably a more classically handsome face.
Don't we
have... Does anybody have a coin?
No.
I haven't made money since my bar mitzvah, so I don't know.
I have nothing near me.
I might have a coin.
All right. Dan's going to get a coin.
Let me try this.
This will decide it. Emily, on the Furkan side, do you choose head or tails? Heads or tails?
I want it to be like the Dan doesn't know this show because he's a child, but that episode of Friends where Joey's like, I pick heads because ducks have heads, but like ducks also have tails, so it doesn't make any sense.
Never watched it. Me. Never got into it.
You're a Seinfeld person, aren't you?
No, never watched that either.
What?
I was watching Nick at Night. So I was watching Cheers. I was watching, excuse me, The Cosby Show. We didn't know back then. I was watching Mad About You, Paul Reiser. You know, I've always been an old man.
Oh.
I've seen Friends many times. It was always on TBS for 2 hours. When I got home from school, I watched it every day. I've seen Friends.
I've seen every episode of Friends multiple times.
All right, Emily, call it.
Okay, I'm going to pick Tails.
You're going to pick Tails? All right, here it is.
This is a great drop onto the floor.
Tails. Tails. Congratulations. Yes! Congratulations, Furkan Korkmaz. So,
Furkan, come on the pod. I've made you more handsome.
Is he 9?
He is 7.
Oh, he's 7. Okay.
Yeah. Paul was 9. Niang's 8. Furkan's 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
To the top 6 now.
To the top 6.
And we of Dan's top 6 is already out. I'm sorry. So sorry.
Yeah. One of Dan's six is already out. All right. At number 6, we have Nowhere Close to Playing Shake Milton.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I had him really, really high last year. This year I had him at 6. Still very good looking. I mean, we're hitting the cream of the crop right here because this is we're at the top of the list.
We really are. What is all right. I'm trying to find last year's thing, and I just had something saved, book one, and I was like, that's something I would have saved as this for last year. That's fine. I'll find it. All right, at number 5, we have Tobias Harris.
That's where I had him. Dan, where did you
Dan had him 6.
Okay.
I had him 4. So he's
right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Really good looking guy.
Really, just yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This is an interesting one. The next one. At number 4, Isaiah Joe.
What was wrong with you guys?
That's Dan's number 1.
Yeah. Both ears. He's very handsome.
Dan went back to back with Isaiah Joe. Wow. Emily, where did you have him?
9.
Oh, Dan.
Ouch. Ouch.
9. Holy shit. He's barely a single digit for Emily. Emily, is it the turtleneck? What is it about Isaiah Joe that
I think he needs to like groom up a little bit. The like beard's a little all over the place. I just think he needs to like rein it in a little bit and like get some like tighten it up. You know,
I think that he's really handsome, but I don't think he is as magnetic as our top 3. That's how I feel.
Fair.
Yeah.
I agree. Like that.
You guys are going to change your mind when he's in the rotation and phenomenal.
Oh, I'm happy for that. But just like, you know, like that press conference. And I was like, I would die for Tyrese Maxey when he was just talking about Isaiah Joe, and Isaiah was just sitting there and Tyrese was just like dazzling us. It's just this, you know, can't help it.
All right, so top 3, here we go.
All right, at number 3, Joel Embiid.
Okay, I think I had him 4, 5.
Dan had him 5.
I have to say, I was so close to putting him at number 1.
It's hard not to.
But it's hard to separate that for how much I actually love him in my regular life.
Mm-hmm.
I do think he's really good looking. I think he has a great smile. And obviously very well built gentleman. Who had him the lowest?
Dan.
4?
5.
And then what did you have him at 1 or no?
I had him at 3.
Okay. Yeah, I had him at 2. All right. So that's number 3. So now the 2, if you're scoring at home, the 2 Sixers left, Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybulle.
Mm-hmm. 2 young bucks.
Two young bucks.
Two very handsome men.
With dazzling smiles, both of them.
Emily, I think it's time for you to go ahead and reveal this year's Gastroenteritis Blues Most Handsome Sixer.
This year's. Should I drum roll it?
I think so.
This year's most handsome Sixer is bronze medalist Matisse Thybul.
Ah, congratulations, Matisse.
Wow. So Tyrese comes in two.
Mm-hmm.
Matisse was my number one. Was he your number one?
He was my number two, and he was Dan's number two.
Wow.
Maxie so was my number one.
I will I really be interested.
Three?
Mm-hmm. You and Steve both had Maxie three.
Hmm. I'll be very interested to see how they, you know, they either rose or fell. Of course, Ben fell completely off the list, but how they rose or fell from year to year.
Yeah, I gotta find it. I'll find it.
Congratulations to Matisse Thybul.
Come on the podcast to collect your prize.
Very handsome guy.
I feel like he has to come on now.
If yeah. Matisse comes on the podcast, like I will get a plaque made for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because like the thing is, you know,
like a belt, like a wrestling belt, maybe whatever he wants.
Like Ben won last year, he was never coming on. Matisse, no. Like we say nice things about Matisse. He, like conceivably, like he wouldn't would be like on. We couldn't even have Ben on as a guest. Like that would be like that'd be very two faced of us.
Yes. No, we're very pro Matisse podcast. I think it would be great. Honestly, he should come on and accept his award, really, which is the plaque that we have just decided we're getting him right now. All right. So I believe the last thing for us to do is to reignite what we did last year. Now you can put this in the same Excel even, Emily.
It is.
We pick the games every week for how many games the Sixers will win and lose. And as this is the first week of the NBA season, we're going to go ahead and we're only going to do this on the Sundays or Mondays, you know, so that's how we'll do them. We won't update them in the middle of the week with our pods. So the games this week, the Sixers play at New Orleans on Wednesday, home against Brooklyn on Friday, and then at Oklahoma City on Sunday. Emily, you're up first.
I'm going three wins.
Oh, I love it. How fun. Dan.
Shameless homerism. Can't help it.
Okay. The games are at New Orleans on Wednesday, home mm-hmm. against Brooklyn on Friday, at Oklahoma City on Sunday.
Okay. We're going to win in New Orleans.
Yeah, Zion, by the way, Zion not playing. He's out a couple weeks.
That's the only time we would ever lose in New Orleans would be on Emily's wedding, and she's not getting married on Wednesday, so I think it's fine.
We're not playing on the day of my second wedding, so it's okay.
All right, so you can spare us that loss, thanks. let's see. Nets at Sixers, Friday night.
Aren't you going?
No, I'm probably not now, but okay. That's a game where I should be studying and I'll just be watching the game because I have an exam coming up right after that. I think that is probably a loss. I just think we don't even know if Ben is playing. They're really good still, even without Kyrie. I'll say that's probably, no, 3-0.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, we're not going to have any differences here. I'm going to go 3-0. I think that
the juice
in opening night at Wells Fargo Center. Now this all gets out of whack. If Ben's there and they're booing one of the lead ball handlers on the home team all game, that's going to be an interesting
thing. That's just chaos.
But did you see the pictures from practice? Ben's with the 13.
Yes. Thank God. So yeah, Ben and B-Ball.
How funny would it be if he like comes off the bench and like, in like garbage minutes.
No, he would throw a
fight. It's like Jaden Springer, Ben. I would.
So yeah, I think that New Orleans and Oklahoma City are wins. And I think that even though like Oklahoma City could absolutely be a Sixers loss at on the road on a Sunday, they could lose that game. But I think that the arena will be really pumped and Joel will get up for that game and it's national TV. I think they're on ESPN. I think that'll be a big win and have people feeling good. So we'll see what happens. Guys, anything else for our last podcast before the season starts? Then, by the way, our next podcast will be Wednesday after the opener. Anything else, friends?
Congrats to the Chicago Sky for winning the WNBA title.
Yes, congrats. Dan, congrats.
No, go Sixers.
Best of luck to Michelle Young, who starts her bachelorette season this week.
Oh, yeah. It's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay. And yeah, thank you to everybody who listens to this, who has made it this far. Maybe sometime tomorrow night, Emily, we can put out our official rankings so that people can read them and weep, and we can send one each to the players. Regretfully, Grant Riddler, here some bad news. I know your knee hurts, but here's another thing, you know, needs improvement. I think that's it. We're in for another year. We really appreciate anybody who listens. Subscribe to our feed, the Gastro Blues feed. Follow Dan on Twitter at Gastro Blues Pod. Emily, hit him with it.
Third and Girl with underscores on both sides of the and.
Yep. Steve J. Lippman. And Dan, I'd like you to say the closing catchphrase.
Wow. Big honor here. All right. Be safe and be great.
How about it? Way better when he does it. Goodbye.